to the masters.
Break it down. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from tight ends in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. You can also get on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. Text the show, you know the number for that. No Twitch channel today, which is too bad because...
Yeah, you got to like it today.
My Lord, if you guys are looking for something to do, you're just getting off work, please come down here to Tight Ends in League City. It is, I would just say, some of God's greatest artwork is on display. And today's Monday Madness, $6.99 burger and fries, which I had and can recommend. Modelo pints for $4. And come watch the game tonight. You might be a little distracted, but come watch the game.
Honestly, let's face it. It's Redskins-Bears. You could use a distraction.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through the rest of the NFL from yesterday. And we will start off with your now 3-0 Buffalo Bills.
The lowly Buffalo Bills.
Beating the Bengals 21-17. I mean, honestly, I thought the Bills clearly the better team most of the game. And let the Bengals back in it. But
made it close at the end, yeah. But it was a really weird second half for them. But Josh Allen... I see some things in him that I like. The guy's got a hose. I mean, he can throw the ball.
Yeah, and he tries to throw it through human beings sometimes too.
But, man, that dude puts the ball on the ground. He's just not very careful with the football, which is, I mean, in the NFL, you got to be careful with the football. He's just not. And he's young, but, yeah.
He's a hell of a lot better than I thought he was going to be, though.
Me too, to be honest. And he's a real threat running the ball. But good job by the Bills to hold them off, go to 3-0. Now, mind you, that's like the lamest 3-0 ever.
More lame, the Bills 3-0 or the Cowboys 3-0?
Cowboys have beat Giants,
Dolphins,
and Redskins. Bills have beat Jets, Giants, Bengals.
It's pretty close.
They both have one win combined between those opponents. Although the Redskins could win tonight. I guess we'll decide after this.
Okay. We'll let tonight be the decider. Speaking of the Cowboys, ran the ball really effectively.
I mean, you know what? The Cowboys, or the Bills is more phony because they had to come back to beat the Jets.
Yeah.
They barely beat the Bengals. The Cowboys are...
The Cowboys have stomped a hole in
all... They're stomping all these crap teams.
Yeah, it's just... And they look good running the football. I mean, 200-yard rushers. The Dolphins actually were hanging around at halftime, but if you were watching that game, they would just do something to take themselves out of it, whether it was a drop pass or whether it was the fumble when they were driving before the half. I mean, all of that. And I used Dallas in one of my contests. So at halftime, I'm like, really, guys? But they did what they're supposed to do. They kicked ass in the second half. And I don't know if we'll find out what they are this week because they're not going to be playing the Saints team that we expected to see. But so far, so good for them. They've done exactly what they're supposed to do, is beat the crap out of teams like that. Packers get to 3-0. They beat the Broncos, the Broncos just do not look good right now.
They do not. Packers cover. More importantly, one of my bigger bets of the weekend was Packers-Broncos under 43. So shout out to the missed extra point.
That's always
that got me the push, and I'll get to another similar story down the road here. But I mean, really unbelievable luck that they would miss an extra point to keep the under from busting.
Colts beat the Falcons 27-24. Jacoby Brissett. We talked about this a little bit in the first hour. He's just playing so well right now. The Falcons just cannot get going in the first half of these road games. They were down, 21-0 to the Vikings before they ever had a chance to do anything. They're down 20-3 at the half here. And, you know, Matt Ryan actually, numbers-wise, had a really good game. Red zone problems again, too. Yep. And that's just been an issue with this team.
Except late in the game. I mean, once Matt Ryan got going, it was like, oh.
Yeah, but it was too late by then. And I think the Colts are a really, really solid football team. And, you know, I think it's going to be – I don't think you can throw them out just yet.
No.
But the Falcons now 1-2. It may be time to quit thinking the Falcons are any good.
Well, it's definitely time to quit thinking that Dan Quinn is some kind of great defensive coach, because he doesn't seem to be able to make a key stop ever. You know, as a guy who's a defensive guru, you know, I know you said this a while back. Maybe you were right. Maybe that guy was just riding Pete Carroll's magic in Seattle.
And the one year they went to the Super Bowl, they had Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
Chiefs beat the Ravens 33-28. This wound up being a push for me. Should have been a cover.
Game was not as close as the score would tell you. The Ravens kind of got back into it late. This was that game that I've been waiting for from Lamar Jackson, where Lamar Jackson looks like he can't throw a ball. And
boy, they got a lot of yards late on just ridiculous plays where he just throws the ball up for grabs and somebody comes down with it. This Chiefs team, I can't remember the stat from how many wins they've had in a row in September, but early in the season, they always look like the best team in the league. And right now, they look as good as anybody. Vikings hammered the Raiders. I know you were on the Vikings on this one.
I was. I was also on the under, and the Raiders had to score a junk touchdown with like a minute left.
Yeah, how about the Jets getting that late touchdown to cover against the Patriots? But one thing about the Vikings is Dalvin Cook is a legitimate star running back, and if they keep feeding him the football and not counting on Kirk Cousins, I think this team can go a very long way.
I think you're right. I mean, they're going to be better as a running football team, and I know it sucks because you've got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, although Thielen had a couple touchdowns, but they are clearly a team. Their offense is better when they're a run-first team, and I know it sucks because you paid Kirk Cousins a ton of money, but I'll be honest, I don't know if Kirk Cousins was even a better quarterback on the field yesterday. Derek Carr wasn't bad at all. And Kirk Cousins just continues to be a really, really high-priced game manager.
Well, but if that's going to help you win, I got no problem with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a very effective game, but as long as they use that running game to set up everything else, I think that's what's going to make this team a winner. Patriots beat the Jets 30-14. No surprise. The Jets got the late backdoor cover on that one.
Speaking of, I had the total under 44.
Yes.
It pushes thanks to a Steven Guskowski missed extra point. Two games I pushed the total because of an extra point that I would have lost. I should have lost. So next time I complain about a bad beat, remind me of today.
Oh, it evens out. I felt like I had one really bad beat this weekend, and I got lucky to get another one, so it happens. Lions beat the Eagles 27-24. Somewhere our friend Holly is crying.
Yeah, this was no surprise to me.
You had the Lions.
Yeah, I did. The Eagles are just too beat up. Too beat up to compete, and their offense never really got going.
Boy, the Lions tried to give it to them at the end, too.
They did. They tried to give it away, but yeah, just a very meh performance, and you know, Stafford was able to have some success, and the Lions aren't very good, but they're 2-0-1.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have thought that coming into the season, so.
No, and you know, that they may turn out to be better than we thought. This is the second year with Patricia. Maybe they're starting to figure some things out. But they also got a kickoff return that helped, and
yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of things that had to go their way. But that's the NFL, man. A lot of these games come down to that, including most of the rest of the ones on the board that we haven't talked about yet. We should probably take a quick break here, and then we'll get to the Panthers Cardinals when we come back. So out here at Tight Ends in League City, come on by, hang out.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Triangle Energy. Listen, if you are tired of worrying about your energy costs going up and down, and you don't have to worry about that anymore. See what Triangle Energy is all about, simple, honest electricity. And you want to stay cool and comfortable, but you want to enjoy a low electricity rate, you get that with Triangle. You can stop worrying about your provider, start saving with Triangle Energy. Worry-free electricity, that's what they're offering. No hidden fees, no gimmicks, top-of-the-line energy plans from a good, honest company. And if you're a Dynamo fan, they're the official energy provider of the Houston Dynamo Dash and BBVA Stadium. And right now, you can enroll in their Power to Win plan. You'll get two Dynamo tickets, two Dynamo t-shirts, and a shot to win free electricity for a year each time the Dynamo win at home. They're also going to let you lock your rate in for 12, 24, 36 months. Avoid rate hikes and lock it in now. They keep it simple. The rates you see, That is the rate you pay. 877-93-EAGLE or go to TriangleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriangleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT, license number 10064.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Tight Ends in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live here at Tight Ends in League City. Beautiful afternoon now. It's turned out nice. My clothes are still soaking wet, yeah. But hey. So come on by if you're just getting off work, you're in the area. Come say hello. We will be here until 7 o'clock. Before we get back to the NFL, I want to get a couple of texts in. It says, players have been faking injuries to stop the clock since the beginning of time. I think you're just upset because Notre Dame did it. Now, if you've listened to this show at all,
okay.
We've been extremely consistent about that it's chicken bleep. So,
yeah. I said they got to come up with a punishment for it, especially when it's so blatant.
Yeah. I mean, it's – and somebody had a really good idea – because you know, I think soccer has a bunch of good ideas. You got to play with 10 players for the next play.
Oh, boy. You won't see teams doing it then.
Yeah. So, and.
But that, then, to me, it's really punitive if you do have a guy who's actually injured.
Well, and that's the thing. It's,
but I think your idea earlier of having them sit out for the rest of the series, I think that's a pretty fair punishment.
Yeah, and it also, if a guy really is hurt, again, it does kind of go to player safety. It gives them a little more time to make sure the guy's okay.
Yep.
And I think you would get rid of it then. But, yeah, if you went to 10, you'd definitely do it. Can 936 get a shout-out for a $20 money line parlay that paid out $8.90 on my bookie? Well played, sir.
There you go.
And then somebody brought up what I think is a fair point, is that the Patriots might be the most phony 3-0 considering the teams they've beaten.
Yeah, but – They've got a history of doing this.
They've also stomped holes in all three of them.
Yeah, like the Cowboys, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they'll be probably touchdown favorites at Buffalo next week.
Yeah,
I'd say rightfully so.
Well, actually, I'll take a look and see exactly what favorites they're going to be. But Texans are -4.5 against the Panthers, and Patriots -7 against the Bills. If I were going to take a side in that, I'd probably be inclined to go New England.
Yeah.
But we shall see. All right, let's go back to the games from Sunday. Panthers beat the Cardinals 38-20. Kyle Allen with a nice performance. Christian McCaffrey just destroyed that team.
Both those guys. Greg Olsen, I mean, just an offensive burst for the Panthers. Who, listen, this is what I was saying. The drop-off from Cam Newton to Kyle Allen, the Cam Newton we saw for the first 2 weeks, I'm not saying peak Cam Newton.
No.
What we saw the first 2 weeks, the drop-off to Kyle Allen was not 5 points worth of a drop-off. And actually
– it might be an improvement.
I think it really is.
And that's not to say that Cam Newton's not a better player, but Cam Newton –
of course he is.
Cam Newton injured and playing the way he's been playing –
that guy's not helping you win games.
No, in fact, he's keeping you from winning games. So it was a must-win for the Panthers, too. If they're going to stay in that NFC South race, they'll need Newton to be healthy and playing well. But that was a good win for them.
And the Cardinals, they're horrific. Especially on defense. They're just so bad.
That and Kyler Murray looked pretty ordinary yesterday. Giants go in and beat the Buccaneers 32-31. You called that one.
I called a money line Giants. Yeah, I said that I think the Giants will rally around Daniel Jones at least for 1 week, and we could see an inspired effort. When Saquon Barkley goes out with a high ankle sprain, I suddenly felt really stupid for not taking points. But Daniel Jones really just made some things happen late in that game, and for whatever reason, Bruce Arians decided that he thinks his kicker is better from further out.
Yeah, that was which, boy, what a.
I mean, I've never heard such a thing.
No, listen, I like Bruce Arians. I like his honesty about stuff, but you know, this is two games where he almost cost him the Carolina game with the back-to-back timeouts, and he does cost him the game with this one. But oh well, but a win for the Giants, which. It'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward because there is some talent on that team, although with Barkley out now for, 4 to 6 weeks, it looks like. 49ers, Steelers.
This game ended up being way closer. And I'll be honest, I think if you took the Steelers, you probably should feel a little bit lucky because the Niners dominated this game. I mean, statistically, but in the box score, they dominated this game. So if you took the Steelers, it gets you to the window.
Yeah.
But that was not
you probably don't feel good about it.
Yeah,
well, you always feel good about it because you're cashing a ticket, but yeah.
Yeah, you're not feeling great about the Mason Rudolph era and how that's starting off. So I don't know what to think of the Steelers and James Conner fumbling.
And the 49ers turned the ball over 5 times and still win the game.
Dude, that's almost impossible to do. But here we are.
Yeah. I think, Hawaii did it opening week. They turned it over 6 times and won the game against
Arizona. You're talking about NFL teams against each other. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Well, the Steelers didn't take advantage when they could have. Rudolph kind of came alive a little bit in the second half. But, yeah, you can't just settle for field goal attempts when you get turnovers like that. Saints go in and beat the Seahawks. Big day for Russell Wilson. But a couple of return touchdowns for the Saints really helped.
Yeah, we were talking about the last game, how the 49ers dominate the box score, and it's closer than it should have been. The Seahawks should have won this game. Clearly the better team. They dominated the box score. Total yards, 265 to 515. I mean,
is that a big difference?
That's a pretty big difference. Russell Wilson.
Well, the one point I would make to that is that they were down enough where Russell Wilson had to put the ball up 50 times.
Yeah.
So you are going to get a bunch of yards like that.
But you get a couple return touchdowns and puts you behind the eight ball. But, I mean, just yards per play, everything, the Seahawks dominated just except the scoreboard. And they made a wild rush late. I don't know what to think of the Saints right now. I think that Teddy Bridgewater looked borderline bad yesterday, and that's not necessarily a great team that they just played. I think the Cowboys are just going to crush the Saints next week.
I think Bridgewater was better than that. He wasn't great, but I don't think he was bad. He did have 2 touchdown passes, no picks. I mean, he was functional. I mean, he's never going to be Drew Brees.
Yeah, but most of their passes yesterday were like, between line of scrimmage to 10 yards. I mean, no shots down the field. They were just – and I mean, I guess that's what you do with a backup quarterback.
Well, that's what you do with a lead, too.
That's not what Carolina did with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, but Carolina was – the Saints had a lead most of the game, so
yeah.
I think they played it smart doing that, and there wasn't any real reason to. So, and you see that. I mean, you'll see games like that that are statistically imbalanced whenever you have something like a couple of – because – we never count return yards, right? And when a team returns, has 2 returns like that, I mean, that still should, that means one less opportunity for your offense.
Yeah.
And, I think the Seahawks were the better team, but I think the Saints got the plays they needed to win. And then finally, Rams beat the Browns 20-13.
Freddie Kitchens is an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, good news, Bill O'Brien. You're not the dumbest coach in the NFL because Freddie Kitchens is a moron. And I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't think Baker Mayfield's all that smart either. But
I
mean, the way they managed their timeouts late in that game, the play calling late in the game.
You didn't love the draw play?
By the way,
as somebody who bet the Rams pretty heavily, I love the draw play.
Yeah. Dude, as long as they've been tracking film of the NFL – that is the first time in history a play 4th and 9 or longer was a draw play. The first time ever. You know why? Because it's a stupid-ass call. Because it's not going to work. I mean, that's what you do on, 3rd and 30 when you know you're going to punt the next play. You're just trying to get some kind of positive yard. If you're going for it on 4th and 9, if you don't get those 9 yards, the other team gets the ball. I don't know if Freddie Kitchens understood that was the rule. But to do that play on 4th and 9 is just ridiculous.
Well, and what did I say my questions were about the Browns before the season started?
Is Baker Mayfield as good as everyone tries to make him out to be? And can Freddie Kitchens coach as a head coach? And right now, I'm going to say no to both. I'm not saying Baker Mayfield can't be good. I don't think Baker Mayfield sucks. But I don't think Baker Mayfield is the second coming. I don't think that he's the next Patrick Mahomes. I think he's a young quarterback who's going to – it's going to take him some time. And that dude holds the ball way too long. He runs around in circles. It looked like Johnny Manziel in college. It's like he's just expecting something to happen for him. And that doesn't really work in the NFL. You can get lucky every once in a while. We saw Deshaun get lucky with one yesterday. Should have gotten sacked. He ends up, running some circles, and then he comes out of it and is able to make a throw. You can't count on that. That can't be your offense. And it feels like with Baker Mayfield, that's his plan, is to be like, I'll just run around until I find something. It's like backyard football. It's dumb.
Well, two thoughts about that. For one thing, that offensive line is pretty beat up right now, and they did not – well, and the Rams – defensively are going to put pressure on you I'll defend him a little bit on that, but I also, my big concern with him was, how's he going to react when he starts getting punched in the mouth, when teams react to what he's doing? And so, because he's an emotional dude, and guys like that tend to crumble in these situations. And the Rams, by the way, haven't even played their best football in their 3-0.
No, you got a very mediocre performance from Jared Goff yesterday, and it still got you a win, still got you a cover. So the Rams, I think the Rams are going to get better.
Yeah, well, they covered. That's all I care about.
That is. And the under hit, too. It was a double whammy, Fred. Allstate Siding and Windows, they're the ultimate double whammy. Siding and windows. And, guys, you need to make sure that you're energy efficient before the fall gets here. Invest in beautiful quality windows and do it at Allstate Siding and Windows. They've got Storm Force windows designed for impact in all weather. You see what's going on right now with this weather. You want to have windows that can hang in there with you. And you save up to 40% on your energy bills with vinyl windows. Think about what you could do with 40% off your electric bill every month. Senior, military, first responder, they got discounts for all of you. I know what you're thinking. Well, what if I'm not one of those things? Pro tip, just tell them AJ Hoffman sent you. Boom. 25% off all window packages, no payments for 2 years. That's called the AJ Hoffman discount. You get it at Allstate Siding and Windows. When you want to invest, choose the best. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com. That's 832-204-1936 for Allstate Siding and Windows.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from tight ends in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Boy, you're missing out if you're not here at tight ends. I'm just telling you. There's plenty to see here.
Yeah.
Edward says the difference with Watson and Baker is Watson looks to stay in the pocket while Baker runs toward the sideline, which forces him in tougher situations and harder throws. I think there's some of that. But I also think it's laughable, anybody who compares Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson, frankly. Maybe at some point he'll get there. Just like I think it's laughable to compare Watson to Patrick Mahomes, but, that's just me. Do we have Lance? All right, let's go to our buddy Lance Erline. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Not too bad. I was just saying during the last segment, I think Bill O'Brien is safe because he's no longer the dumbest coach in the NFL now that Freddie Kitchens is a full-time head coach. What do you think of his performance last night?
I was really surprised that Freddie called what he called, and then on top of that, I thought that it was just not good play calling or play design to not have any kind of pick routes near the end zone. You get four shots down at the end to get into the end zone. And, so my issue is not just with the inside draw on a fourth down. It's also with how they handled the last four plays of the game. I just thought all the way around it wasn't good. And I tell you, he's not a guy that is going to be able to fade a really bad start, because if things start going sideways, it's just a matter of time before some of the combustible elements of that team start to bubble up. So we'll see how it plays out. But I didn't think it was very good.
Well, what did you think of the Texans yesterday? I thought that it was the most promising showing that they've had so far. It would have been nice if the improved pass protection came with some sort of a running game, but it seems like they just sold out for that one particular thing, which got the job done. But tale of two halves. Their first half was pretty awful. They figured things out in the second half. How'd you feel about the performance overall yesterday?
Yeah, I felt pretty good about the performance overall. The issues are okay. So the cornerback issue with Jonathan Joseph playing about 40 yards off the wide receiver apparently is not going to change. He's just too terrified of getting beat deep. So I think that's going to be a concern that will have to be addressed next year in the draft or free agency. When I say draft, obviously, I mean second round. As far as the offensive line, this has always been the best unit that you're going to play. Tytus Howard, you know, Max Sharping, Zach Fulton, Nick Martin, Tytus Howard, and Laremy Tunsil. The only difference I thought is that you might have Zach Fulton playing left guard and Max playing right guard, since that's where he played in the preseason. But this is the most talented offensive unit that they have, these five guys. And so it stood to reason to me, you know, you got a guy who's pretty good with pass protection and Tytus Howard. To me, he was a much better fit at tackle than guard. I didn't like him too much at guard when I saw him in limited time. But Max Sharping is going to be way better. This is something I've been on for a while now on Twitter. He's going to be way better than people think. This is a very natural move in for him to guard. And you watched him in pass protection, you can tell he's a former tackle playing guard, which means he's really advanced with his pass protection, but he's not as good with the drive blocking. So I think you're gonna maybe lose some of the run blocking in the early stages as he gets more comfortable firing off the ball and trying to, you know, be a better run blocker. But you are going to be able to protect Deshaun Watson a little bit better. And I think right now, if you gave the Texans the choice, I think they would rather take their chances with being able to throw the ball effectively, back safeties off, and then run it kind of standard 6 and 7 man boxes as opposed to having safeties creep down.
Was your takeaway from J.J. Watt showing yesterday that J.J.'s back, or that the Chargers' offensive line is just really horrible?
Well, they don't have a very good offensive line. I mean, that's just a fact. But I think part of it is J.J.'s just more, instead of him beating you with a single move and getting into the quarterback immediately, I think J.J. is always going to be a hard-charging, hard-playing, secondary effort sack guy. In other words, if the play stays alive, J.J. Watt is going to eventually get to. Now, you know, I think that's because he's big, he's strong, and he does have a pretty good first move, and he's got some counters. But he's not the same guy he used to be, but I'm not waiting for him to be that anymore. I just think J.J. has to be a guy that puts consistent pressure on the pocket, and then you got to have another guy step up. And so far, Whitney Mercilus has been that guy. For all 3 weeks, Whitney Mercilus has stepped up and, you know, been able to land a sack. And I've really been impressed with what Whitney's shown. I got to tell you, I did not expect to see that from Whitney Mercilus, but it's been a nice return to form for him up to this point.
What about DJ Reader, too? He turned it
on. Oh, I mean, man.
He was pretty, especially in the first half.
I think DJ might be the best defensive lineman they have right now, including JJ. And I do think JJ is still a pretty good defensive lineman all the way around. But, I mean, DJ Reader right now can just physically overwhelm some of the guys he goes up against. He's pretty impressive as a pass rusher for an interior rusher. And then, you know, he can be a tough guy to move as a run blocker, right? I mean, that guy was an absolute steal. That was one where you really chalk that up as one of the good late-round picks for Rick Smith, because DJ Reader has really turned into a good player. I mean, people around the league that talk about him being one of the best interior linemen that no one talks about.
Talking about Jonathan Joseph a little while ago, and at what point, you know, now it looked like they picked on him the entire game the same way the Saints did Aaron Colvin. And, yeah, that's something you can address next year. But what about this year? I mean, how much longer can – you keep throwing him out there like that
all year because there's no answer. I mean, there is nobody. You got Lonnie Johnson already playing out there. Keon Crossan's not the answer. Xavier Crawford's not going to be the answer. You don't have any options unless you pick somebody up off the waiver wire in case somebody gets cut or somebody is a, you know, street free agent. It's going to be Lonnie Johnson, Bradley Roby, and Jonathan Joseph, and that's it. They have Keon Crossan. They have Xavier Crawford. I just, unless I'm missing somebody, they don't have anyone who can go out there and cover at JJ's level. And JJ's level right now is, you know, frankly, below par. And I think a lot of it's because he just doesn't trust himself to crowd up on wide receivers anymore.
Did you feel good about how Lonnie Johnson looked yesterday?
I didn't get to study it that much. I felt like I did. I felt like it was better. And then I saw Bill O'Brien's comments that he was just decent, where he did give some – so, you know, he did give his props to Max Sharping and Tytus Howard, but for when he was asked about Lonnie Johnson today, he just said he was decent. And that's the second week in a row he said that. So I think there are some things that, you know, the coaching staff who paid a lot closer attention to them and were able to watch coaches tape, they obviously you know, weren't all the way in on what we saw. For me, I don't remember, you know, being super upset about Lonnie Johnson, or, you know, it was J.J. who was the one giving up most of the big plays.
Yeah, well, when J.J. went off the field and they brought Phillip Gaines in, I'm like, you know what?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Phillip Gaines, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'd rather see this right now. I mean, he can't be any worse.
And, you know, he's played in some important high leverage games with Kansas City in the past. So while he is not really at the level that you want, either is Jonathan Joseph. So, yeah, I forgot about Phillip Gaines. He's a guy with the background that you could stick in there. Absolutely.
Well, we just saw Kyle Allen have his way with a bad secondary. Did you get to see that much of that Panthers Cardinals game?
I did.
How do you feel about the Panthers coming in next week?
I mean, I still think that Kyle Allen will have a little bit of a tougher time against the Texans. I'm not all the way in on Kyle Allen, to be honest with you, but that's maybe just bias because I saw him struggle at U of H. I don't have a lot of basis to assume that he can keep anything going in the NFL, but I could end up being wrong. It's going to have to be a prove-it situation. I feel like that's just kind of I honestly think that was a pretty good win for Carolina. And that's one of those classic handicapping situations where the love was on Arizona and everyone was releasing Arizona as a play. And then you're saying, you know, it's almost like Arizona's an expansion team in some ways. You're getting excited about a first-time quarterback who still hasn't really broken out yet, a team that was just terrible last year. And Carolina has been there, done that with most of the players, a lot of the players on their roster, and that's kind of what happened. Now, they'll come in. I think, you know, you're talking about back-to-back weeks now where Carolina is going to have to travel west and then travel to Houston. So that's a little bit – it's only Eastern time zone to Central time zone. It's not a lot. But I know back-to-back weeks of travel can sometimes have an impact. So I think it benefits Houston. I mean, not seeing Cam Newton, and I know it hadn't been a very good Cam Newton, but I think anytime you get to see a guy who's a backup quarterback, it benefits you. And I don't know about you guys, but when the schedule came out, you looked at the quarterbacks they were going to play, and you said, ooh, man, this is going to be tough, but that's really changed.
No, absolutely, it has. No, you didn't have to see Nick Foles. Now you don't have to see Cam Newton.
Yeah, no, Andrew Luck twice.
Yeah, it's really opened up for them, and they've done well against backup quarterbacks. That's one thing we know about Bill O'Brien is he feasts on these bad quarterbacks. So maybe he's got some. But I will say, watching that Panthers game, Christian McCaffrey is going to be a problem for this team. And the Chargers, because they're so bad on their offensive front, they weren't able to really get a running game going. I think Christian McCaffrey and I think Greg Olsen will be problem areas for the Texans defensively. I think those two guys who just had their way against the Cardinals, those are problems that the Texans have dealt with before. Guys like them, I think that could really be an issue for the Texans this week.
It could be. McCaffrey, how McCaffrey is used out of the backfield and how the Texans handle that is going to be, you know, really critical. And I think it's worth stating that you're going to have to run the football some to keep, you know, to keep the front seven of Carolina to keep them at bay. You can't just let them pin their ears back and come after you the entire time or become too predictable offensively. And the one thing we know about Bill O'Brien is he likes to drastically mix up the game plan, which I think can really benefit teams at times as long as they're really good at executing. When they're not good at executing, I think you can kind of get a little too cute. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Luke Kuechly to keep him out of the game.
One more before we let you go, Lance. Mentioned the Colts a little bit earlier. Colts and Falcons. I mean, I think the Colts are legitimate, but have we been overselling the Falcons here since the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Since the Super Bowl, it's been disappointing. Kyle Shanahan left, and I think that offense left with it. It has not been the same offense since then. They had an identity with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman where they were a run-first play-action team. And ever since they put more on Matt Ryan's plate, Matt Ryan is one of these diminishing return guys. When you ask him to do a lot more, sometimes the numbers, the fantasy numbers will stack up, but you don't feel like there's wins involved. And sometimes that can be the same thing with, you know, Matt Stafford. But I think we have oversold them. And they have some talent on defense, but You know, the Colts didn't have their best game, and yet they still hung on there and won again. And I don't think Jacoby Brissett is a bad quarterback at all. I don't think he's a bad quarterback at all. They can win with Jacoby Brissett. I still think you're obviously much better off not having to see Andrew Luck. But, yeah, the Falcons, I totally agree with you, Fred. They have not been the same team since that Super Bowl, that disastrous Super Bowl loss.
So what gives tonight? Will Trubisky continue to play like he's the worst quarterback in the NFL? Will the Redskins continue to give it up in the secondary? What do you see happening tonight?
Yeah, I think the defense is just going to maul Washington. And to me, this is going to be – I think we're going to be treated to another – well, not another one. We'll be treated to a stinker on Monday night. I think it's going to, you know, look something like 23-6. I don't think it's going to be a fun game to watch unless you have Chicago. I think Chicago is going to show up. And to me, Trubisky gets better in this game, but this one's going to be about how Chicago's defense is just too much for the offense of Washington. That's how I see it.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him every morning from 7 to 9:30. And you've got to tell the people about Texas.
The grill.
Yeah,
you know, I love it. I know AJ knows this from his pits and spits, but they are such a great company at – finding the very best grill out there on the market for you that fits what your needs are. When you go in and you tell them what you're looking for, they will show you a few different things, and then you find what it is that makes the most sense for, you know, for your budget or for what you want. I can tell you this, they're going to assemble it and deliver it absolutely free all the way through the month of September. But I also want you guys to come out and check them out for yourself. This Friday, I'm going to be there from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Texas Star Grill Shop at 2045 Southwest Freeway at the you can exit at the Greenbrier Shepherd exit. Ryan Savoy from my friends over October St. Arnold. He's going to be there with the brand new Oktoberfest beer. We're going to be drinking beer and having pizzas directly made from the ovens that they have or the grills over at Texas Star Grill Shop. So make sure that you come on by, enjoy some great pizza, some great beer, hang out with me, hang out with Ryan, and see if you can find something that fits your fancy as a barbecue pit master or a novice at TexasStarGrillShop.com.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Tight Ends in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Tight Ends. And I don't have internet anymore.
Oh, no.
We'll have to figure that out. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we go to Harris County, Texas.
I've heard of it.
Where a Houston area man is wanted by authorities after they said he filed for and completed a divorce from his wife without ever telling her.
I saw this story. It's so great.
I love this. Paul Nixon.
What's the big deal?
It's called committed aggravated perjury when he went through the divorce process without his wife's consent. Aggravated perjury.
So many rules.
I think if I want...
Give him his freedom.
If you want to be able to get rid of one, you should be able to, right? Yeah. They don't have to consent. You just say, hey. According to the authorities, received a call on May 14th from a woman who said her husband allegedly completed the divorce and a court already filed the final decree. They found that he forged documents and submitted false information to the court. Okay, that's illegal. He also allegedly submitted a waiver of service with a forged signature from a notary. Okay, that's a lie to the government. That doesn't usually work out very well. He also committed aggravated perjury when he testified during the final hearing on the validity of the documents and information. He is currently being sought by authorities. The divorce has been set aside due to the fraudulent filing.
God, so many rules.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel, you know, divorce should be done. It would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe
let,
not
let
that
man
easy.
Live.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So I know you asked Lance about it. Do you have any thoughts on this game tonight?
I like the under. I think it's a low-scoring game. I can't give five and a half points with the Bears. I mean, Trubisky's been so awful early in the season. Now, what I will say, Lance is right. When the Redskins are, so far at least, a one-dimensional offense. They've run the ball something like 30 times so far this season. They don't care to run the ball. And if you're a one-dimensional team, the Bears can get you. So they're going to need Adrian Peterson to be something tonight to stay in this game. But I don't trust Trubisky to get any kind of margin. I mean, you talk about the master checkdown guy. That's what he's been so far this year. And I really thought he was poised to take a big step. And he's looked horrible so far this season.
Yeah,
so.
I was with you. I thought he was going to take a big leap this year. And thus far, if anything, he's regressed a little
bit.
Yeah,
it's been really, really awful.
So, yeah, I don't have much of an opinion on this one. It's not even one I want to sit back and watch, but I will because it's football. All right.
Tamara, driving home, just tuning in, not sure if you've spoken about this yet, but amazing defense for the Steelers Sunday against San Francisco. Forced 5 turnovers, disappointing offense. Couldn't capitalize on one of those turnovers and score a touchdown. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
Disappointing offense. Nice way to put it.
Very, very tactful. So, that's one where you get 5 turnovers, you're supposed to win the game.
You should.
And, you know, and I think Mason Rudolph didn't take advantage of some opportunities. And when he finally did get going in the second half, I mean, they let the 49ers hang around. The 49ers got it done. And I still don't know what the Steelers are, but 0-3 is not a good place to be right now.
No.
And with no Ben, I mean, it's concerning to say the least. 713-780-ESPN. Well, you can text the show, but I can't see it right now. So I'm trying to figure out why I'm the only one who can't get on the Wi-Fi.
I'm not on the Wi-Fi. I'm on my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi died on me.
So, oh, well. Yeah, I don't have – for some reason, I've never been able to get the hotspot on my phone thing. So, no matter how many times I try. But, so what is this – Tyler sent us. The guy put down 89 cents on a 20-team parlay.
What?
Has a max payout of $499,000. The only remaining pick is the Redskins to win outright tonight.
Jeez. How do you even put down 89 cents?
Yeah. Well, maybe online. I know you can do fractions on some of the sites I use. Because, like, sometimes if you've got, like, $100.46 left, I'll bet the $100.46.
Yeah, so. But 89. Most sites have a minimum bet.
Yeah, I don't know.
He could have done it at a sports book because don't they have parlay cards?
I guess.
Yeah, but
I mean,
89 cents.
Who's taking an 89 cent? Most of these places are at least $5 minimums.
89 even to pay out almost $500,000 if you bet a dollar. That's significantly more, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, let me see some of these games. Yeah. I mean, good for him. He's on it. That's good luck to him. Redskins money line. I guess that's sort of like the I think that's the only game he took as like a dog on the money line. So that's like his biggest play. That's what's adding the juice. But that's what it's going to be the toughest one to get home. But
that's why you're buying lottery tickets.
I guess so, man.
I mean, for 89 cents, yeah, I'd take a shot at 20 games.
Dude, I would have put in a whole dollar and just
I might have, you know what? I might have even bet two.
I mean, how much would you hedge at this point?
Boy.
Like, you got to at least put out 50 grand, right?
Yeah, but I'm guessing if you're betting an 89 cent parlay, you don't have 50 grand.
That's probably true. I'd borrow it. I'd figure it out. I mean, you got to figure something out.
You don't want to walk away with absolutely zero.
Yeah, that's tough.
So, and then just, although Bears money line, you're going to have to bet.
You have to bet
a pretty good chunk. But still, I mean, it'd be worth it. Walk out of there with 40 grand.
Yeah.
All right.
Beats 89 cents.
It does.
I mean, it beats zero, which is the alternative.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. See if we can't get the internet thing sorted out here on the break. But come see us. We're at Tight Ends in League City. Really cool place. Watch the game tonight and watch many other things. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.